listening to The Finalysis with Travis Wingfield and Kevin Dern. Brought to you by WelcomeToPerfectville.com. Prepare to go deep.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome back to another installment of The Finalysis Podcast, your home for the best analysis on your Miami Dolphins. I am Travis Wingfield, your host as always, and I am joined by my co-host, Kevin Dern, resident defensive coordinator of Perfectville. Kevin, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Just excited to be talking about some draft prospects and getting ready to watch the Senior Bowl this weekend.
This is kind of me and Kevin's wheelhouse when it comes to footballs, evaluating these kids from the from February onto April until they get drafted. And it kind of gives you an idea of what teams look like in the NFL too, because you follow the draft and you find out where they go and their scheme fits and all that good stuff. So it gives you a good base of knowledge for that kind of thing. So I really look forward to this time of year. It sucks the Dolphins aren't playing the Super Bowl coming up here in a couple of weeks, but we get this opportunity to do some more scouting. And Kevin and I are going to go over the Senior Bowl tonight, talk about some of the Dolphins players of interest in that Senior Bowl, and then just give you some names of guys we like later on in the draft, whether it's the first couple of rounds, middle rounds, or the last day of the draft. So plenty of draft stuff coming your way. Don't forget to check out the Welcome to Perfectville catalog here off the jump. The Right Travis Right tab is going to have all your coverage for draft information as I go over some film study and kind of scout some players, and Kevin will be adding to that as well. He also has a blog portion, Ronan's Ramblings. Don't forget to check that out. And the Welcome to Perfectville podcast with Chris and Sam, our brethren over there. So plenty of good stuff for you guys this offseason. We are going to be your draft home is our plan. But first, Kevin, I believe you have some Miami Dolphins news off the jump for us tonight.
Yeah, so we had two quick updates today. I don't know if anyone saw, but Mike Tannenbaum, the executive vice president of football ops, was at the Senior Bowl. We got an ESPN update saying that Ndamukong Suh had a minor clean out of his knee. Sounds like it's pretty much nothing. I'm sure he'll be ready when he goes back to his laboratory at Nike in Oregon and whatever he does there. he's a freak. And then Tannenbaum did say they asked him about Ryan Tannehill. They said no decision has been made yet. We kind of heard about him playing basketball with people last week, so hopefully that's a good sign for his knee. I feel like if there was something majorly wrong, they would have already had the surgery. It was, November, early December when the injury happened. So, I think no news is good news in my opinion. But, Travis, what do you think about that?
It kind of scares the crap out of me, man. You mentioned some of the Mike Tannenbaum stuff that he talked about at Senior Bowl today. And I think one of the things he said was that, the decision for long-term surgery is up to Ryan. And it's like, really? We're waiting this long if there's still that possibility? That kind of seems crazy to me. I mean, I don't want to risk the guy's career over trying to get back for the first couple of games or whatever, but if you're going to do the surgery, do it soon rather than later. But I think you're right. I think the basketball stuff is a pretty good indication. I think the fact that they're waiting, it just seems like you said, no news is probably good news at this point.
Yeah, I kind of took it as like, it's probably one of those things where if he rehabs it well enough and doesn't like strain it, it'll heal on its own. But then he could also opt to have that surgery, kind of like how Mike Pouncey did in 2014, where he missed the first, four games of the season, I think, because he thought his left hip or whatever would give him problems. Now he's hurt his right hip. But that was kind of how I took it, is like Tannehill could have the surgery, maybe miss some time, but it'll fix it long term, or he can like rehab and just work through it and it'll kind of heal on its own. That's what I took from it. But, if you get the chance, the Tannenbaum interview is on the Dolphins.com webpage. There's also a team like town hall thing with he and Chris Greer that they posted earlier tonight. I haven't had a chance to watch that yet, but, one of the things that Tannenbaum said that in the Senior Bowl thing, your boy Daniel Jeremiah was asking him, what you had to do to catch the Patriots. And, he talked about, pressuring Tom Brady and particularly from the inside. And, that kind of got me thinking like, there's not a great interior pass rusher in this draft. There's no Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy, Aaron Donald type guy. At least none that I can really identify clearly at this point. Jonathan Allen's probably the best shot at it, but I think he can be pretty versatile and used in a number of ways. But the guy that immediately I thought of was Calais Campbell, the free agent from the Arizona Cardinals. Travis, you watched that All or Nothing or whatever their, documentary thing was on Amazon. You seemed to really like that. And you talked about how Calais was, like one of their team leaders and all that. And, he had 8 sacks this past season. I feel like for Miami, he could kind of do better job with what Jason Jones was trying to do last year, where, you know, on base downs, he can be that big, you know, physical defensive end that plays that wide nine role up against a tight end. And when you're going against Gronkowski and Bennett, who are probably two of the top five best blocking tight ends in the league, I feel like he could really do some work there. And then when you switch to nickel, you're probably going to take Jordan Phillips off the field anyway. You can just kick Calais Campbell inside and bring on Cameron Wake, and you're playing in that two-thirds of your snaps anyway. So, you know, Calais Campbell was a name that really jumped out to me, you know, as well as Jabril Peppers. We mentioned that on the last episode because Tannenbaum talked about that slot corner stuff. You know, Travis, what did you have any insight from what Tannenbaum said? I think you said you read the transcript of it.
Yeah, I did. I liked the comment about Calais Campbell. You and I talked about this off air a little bit. And I think that there's so many variables that go into this whole process. And one of the things that Tannenbaum mentioned is that we want to be able to be as versatile as possible when it comes to pick 22. And what that means basically is that they want to have their holes filled before the draft so they can kind of just pick the best player, which is the best option. That's what all the best teams do. So I like that idea. And, you know, you mentioned Calais Campbell, a defensive tackle. A defensive tackle / DN, Jason Jones type of role. I just think that money best spent will be up front. There's a lot of good names out there for the front line that can kind of come in. And you mentioned his leadership personality. And it's amazing how infectious and inspiring he kind of is. I mean, hell, the guy was inspiring me through a TV screen. So it was fun to watch. And I think he's a great first option to look. I know you and I have talked about Melvin Ingram a little bit and Jason Pierre-Paul and some of the other guys that are available, Chandler Jones possibly, but whatever. It sounds like he'll be the one that gets kept in Arizona where Campbell is showing the door. So I think that's a good option there. I think some of the things that Tannenbaum touched on in terms of, you know, stopping the Patriots, it starts up front with them with stopping the Patriots too. So a lot of good stuff from him there. He's very transparent and very upfront, and I think he has a good plan in place. I know he got a lot of crap talked about him, you know, when the Dolphins were 1-4 and you know, the Lamar Miller stuff that was out there and just all the things that went against him. But I'm starting to kind of like the guy
I would say very transparent as far as an NFL executive.
Yeah, as transparent as you can get.
Players there, but
that's one thing I really appreciate about this regime is, you know, there's not really that many secrets when it comes to, you know, just trivial stuff that doesn't have to be hidden. You know, there's no Belichickian mantra to it, whereas they kind of have that temperament, but it's not just like everything's under wraps where we're on to Cincinnati or on to Seattle, whatever the hell he says. So, I like that plan. You and I talked about kind of filling out the roster in a way that makes financial sense to certain positions, and I think that Calais Campbell offers a pretty good value for your buck there compared to what you would find at linebacker, where someone like Dante Hightower is going to get a big contract probably from the Patriots, and Jamie Collins kind of set the market there for the Browns. So I think money best spent will be up front, like you mentioned.
Yeah, the only thing I see with Calais Campbell that concerns me is that he'll be 31 at the start of September. So I don't know how long of a contract you can give him, but just kind of looking at his, you know, stats and stuff like that, he's been pretty durable, it looks like. You know, I see the fewest amount of games he's played in a single season is 13. You know, and he's played 16 games, 6 times throughout his, you know, career of 9 seasons. So, yeah, it's pretty durable. So maybe he will hold up a little better. You know, he did play his college ball at the U, so maybe that's a draw for him as well. But, Travis, you know, we wanted to talk about the Senior Bowl. I'll kind of kick it over to you, and you can kind of talk to us about what you've seen so far this week.
Yeah, we'll get into that here in a second, Kev. I only had a chance to watch Tuesday's practices in their entirety. I mean, I know that sounds like it's not much, but it's 4 hours of coverage, and I fast forward through commercials, and I try to hear everything that Mayock and Daniel Jeremiah say, because I think they're, well, Jeremiah's, like you said, my boy, but Mayock's kind of a little bit out there these days. But I listen to a lot of that stuff and pay attention to what they're saying and kind of hear their scouting reports and just kind of, you know, compare them to what I have to say about certain players. But just real quick on Calais Campbell, you know, you mentioned his personality and his fitness team. I just think that him on that defensive line would really go a long way towards filling out this wide nine to what it's supposed to be. And really, you know, you can make Jordan Phillips a sub-package player at that point, which I think is where he's probably best suited as a third defensive tackle who gets a lot of reps, but just isn't relied upon as the primary guy. I think that's a good spot for him there. So, yeah, Campbell definitely has my upvote for that signing there. As for the Senior Bowl, like you mentioned, Kev, we had 5 visits on Tuesday. This is Wednesday night. We're recording this episode. I'm sure there's visits going on as we speak right now down in Mobile, Alabama. But I don't have those names available yet. But the five I had from last night, pretty much right in the wheelhouse of where the Dolphins' needs are. It's kind of funny that they went with these guys. But the Florida
line, these are just the five that we know about. I'm sure they've met with lots more guys, but.
And that's what's kind of interesting, too, is you wonder if maybe they're leaking these names because these are the obvious positions to fill in the draft or in free agency. Maybe they're trying to, you know, throw the scent off of, you know, I don't know who it could possibly be. Patrick Mahomes, like I mentioned, you know, in the first round.
It's good due diligence on everybody.
Exactly. Know, so. And we read about that, too, how their scouting style has been very aggressive so far. And I like the idea that they don't really seem to leave any stone unturned. And we've heard about Mike Tannenbaum and his kind of chaotic nature when it comes to free agency and trading. And if anybody's rumored to be available, he's on the phone immediately. And so he's definitely got his finger on the pulse of the league, and he's not going to leave anyone, you know, unturned, if you will, as a stone. So the five guys that they released, the information they visited with, we got two linebackers. One is Florida's linebacker, Alex Anzalone. I hope I'm saying that right. Anzalone. I don't know much about him, Kev. Do you have any idea on him?
My Italian says it's Anzalone, but I know he was a pretty good player. I watched one Florida game this year outside of the SEC championship game. He's a pretty active guy, but the one thing I keep reading about him is that in his career at Florida, he only played like 20 games or something like that because he was always hurt.
Yeah, he didn't flash on the tape when I was watching Davis. Florida was pretty boring for me this year because their offense was so bad, so I didn't watch a lot of them live. Went for other games, but on the Davis tape, I never noticed Anzalone, the Italian pronunciation there. Other linebacker was another one I'm not going to be able to pronounce because I don't know much about him either. Is Wisconsin's linebacker Vince Beagle?
Yeah, Vince Beagle.
Perfect name. So you sounds like you know about him a little bit. Why don't you tell us about him?
Yeah, so I actually got the chance to go up to Lambeau Field, and I watched the LSU-Wisconsin game there.
Oh, there you go.
And through the beer and bratwurst-induced haze, Wisconsin actually has some pretty talented kids. You know, Beagle and TJ Watt, JJ's little brother, were their two outside guys to kind of start the game. And then they had a pretty good kid in the middle who got hurt, like, in the first or second series, and they brought in like a true freshman, and that kid came in and played pretty well. Beagle, to me, you know, I think he's like 6'3", about 240, 245. I think he could play Sam linebacker in this scheme. It might take some work for him, you know, if Miami drafted him, just because he's, you know, been groomed as sort of that edge 3-4 outside linebacker like Wisconsin runs. But he's pretty fast. I think he had a shoulder injury, you know, fairly early in the season and missed a lot of time there. But he was pretty impressive in that game against LSU. You know, other than one big run, they really did a nice job against Leonard Fournette. So, you know, I don't know if he's a perfect fit for the wide nine, but I wouldn't be disappointed if he ended up in Miami.
Yeah, I saw him. He was actually leading the, I think it was Tuesday's practice. He was, when the North came on the field, he was leading the pregame or pre-practice little huddle there, if you will, kind of getting the guys pumped up. So some leadership skills there too. I mean, I'm assuming if they're going to have him do that. So thanks for that report. I had no idea you had that intel on him. So very good there. The next guy is a guy that I am familiar with. Watched a lot of Miami games this year. I kind of got into Brad Kaya. Then I was like, oh, wait, he's not very good. So let's focus on somebody else.
Was that back when we thought Ryan Tannehill wouldn't be the quarterback?
Yeah, we had to look everywhere for quarterbacks in that time of year, and that wasn't very much fun. But a guy that stood out besides David Njoku there and Brad Kaya, obviously, was the guard Danny Isadora. And he was a visit we had last night. I think there's no smoke and mirrors there. I think that's a very good fit for this offensive line. Yeah, he's built like a house. The guy has a really good foundation when it comes to being at left guard there. And he can get out in space a little bit too. He plays with power. He's got a really good punch. I saw him kind of throw that left hand a couple times and cut off the edge and then re-anchor once he makes contact. So fun to watch him at the practices and games this
Travis,
year too.
I'm going to jump in. I actually had a question for you about him. You know, we had talked about it, I think, a couple episodes ago about maybe trying to target like Larry Warford or Kevin Zeitler in free agency. And, you know, both of those guys are right guards. And from what I understand, you know, Isadora was a four-year starter at the U, played right guard there, but you said one of the practices you watched, he played left guard. So I was going to say, one, is can you clarify that? And two, how did he look on the left side?
he looked natural from my perspective. And yeah, he did. He did play a little bit of both guards at Miami. So guard positions, I should say. But yeah, they had him line up at left guard, and the drills that I saw was that one-on-one pass rush stuff that I just can't get enough of. And like I said, he was handling some guys inside. And one of my guys I like a little bit later on, Montrevious Adams, was just killing people. And he gave him a solid punch in that drill. And I think it was Adams. But yeah, so Danny Isidore was – he might be able to play both spots. And I think left guard – well, I don't know which guard will be more pressing when it comes to what we decide to do. I guess it depends on Brandon Albert. But I think that he's a good pairing. I think that he has a lot of ability to get in space. He can be a little bit of a mauler in the run game, something we don't really have in Miami right now. So I like him a lot. He was one of the visits last night as well. And then another guy on the offensive line they had a visit with was LSU center Ethan Pocic. I think I'm saying that right. These names are tough. Yeah, it's Pocic, so whatever. I feel like it's Pocic or Pokic, or I'm just butchering that right now. But he was a visit, potential day two pick there probably from LSU. And then the last one was a tight end. Ole Miss's Evan Engram, a guy that our favorite poster on thefins.com, KB21, likes to talk about his Ole Miss boys that he's not a big fan of because he is a Mississippi State grad. But he mentioned that Engram basically is going to have to learn how to block in line from day one. He's going to have to learn everything from scratch because he doesn't know how to do it. But he can flex out wide. I've seen the Jordan Reed comparisons to him, as well as Gerald Everett from South Alabama down there in Mobile. So Evan Engram from Ole Miss.
He seems like a souped-up Thomas Duarte.
Oh, good old Duarte. Yeah, hopefully he can get off the practice squad this year and make an impact. But yeah, so Evan Engram, Vince Beagle, Ethan Pocic, Danny Isidore, and Alex Anzalone. So that's about 60% accuracy on the pronunciation of those names, but 100% accuracy on the fact that they did visit with the Dolphins. I'm sure they'll be having much, much more going forward. But yeah, I mostly got a chance to watch the South practice on Tuesday and a little bit of the North as well. But yeah, some guys stood out to me, and we'll get to those names later. But Kevin, do you have some guys from the Senior Bowl that you're paying attention to this week?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously I think Miami's going to have to do a lot of work on the front seven, and I had three guys at defensive end that I wanted to kind of watch a little bit more of. I didn't get to see him play a whole bunch, and then I've got one DB as well. So the three guys I wanted to look for were Deshaun Hall, who I've heard has had a pretty good day today or yesterday, one of the two. He's the other defensive end at Texas A&M opposite Miles Garrett. You know, he's like 6'5", around 270, somewhere in that range. That's perfect, like wide nine build. And, you know, I saw one or two Texas A&M games this year, and, you know, I kind of trained my eyes toward Miles Garrett. Yeah. But, you know, Deshaun Hall made a couple of nice plays, you know, in his own right. You know, I watched a little bit of their game against Alabama, and, you know, he did some nice things in that game. So he's number one. The other two defensive ends, Terrell Basham out of Ohio University. Saw him a little bit. I got a chance to watch like one brief little part of practice the other day. He's a defensive end out of OU. Kind of caught my eye when they played against Western Michigan in the MAC championship. He had a pretty solid game. Or maybe I don't know if that was the MAC championship or not, but I think it was. Had a pretty solid game that game. You know, he's got the build. He kind of looks like an NFL guy. I think OU still has Frank Solich as their head coach. He's got a lot of NFL experience if he still is, in fact, their coach there. So I'm just kind of curious to see what he does this week. And then the last guy, I mentioned him a couple episodes back. We don't know about this pronunciation either. I'm going to try and call back my high school French here. But Tano Capasanon out of Villanova, I think I saw his weigh-in measurements. Didn't he have, like, the longest arms there?
They kept saying all morning that he won the weigh-in big time.
Yeah. So he's, like, 6'6", 280-something. You know, he had 34 and I think three-quarter-inch arms or something like that. Jesus. Massive hands. You know, just a big dude. But you have to wonder, you know, why was he at an FCS football program in Villanova? You know, to me, I kind of watched his tape. At the FCS level, he looks like he's really explosive just because he's so damn big and so damn fast compared to those guys. What's that translate to in the NFL? You know, I think he's certainly a fit. I've seen a couple people kind of throw around the comparison of like a Devin Taylor or a Jason Jones type of guy. So I'm interested to see what he looks like. And then, you know, in line with Mike Tannenbaum's comments about slot corners, Jordan Lewis out of Michigan was a guy. I kind of saw him in some one-on-ones. I think he was battling with that Cooper Kupp out of Eastern Washington. Had some good one-on-one battles there. You know, obviously it's kind of tough for the DBs in those situations because they don't know where the receiver's going. But he always impressed me when I watched some Michigan games this year. I don't know that he would be a perimeter guy at all for Miami, but, you know, I think we're kind of set there with Maxwell, Lippitt, and Howard. You know, if they want to bring in someone to challenge Bobby McCain or even have like a dime corner like that, I think Jordan Lewis is a pretty good shout. So those are my four guys I want to watch in the Senior Bowl this weekend.
Very good, very good. And the, I guess that brings me into my names I wanted to look at here. And I tried to stay on offense as much as I could, but there's just so much defensive talent in this draft and in this game as well, too. So kind of I picked three offensive guys. I'm not even sure that one of them is a possibility. I'll start with him. And it's Corey Clement from Wisconsin. He's a pretty good tailback. He's pretty stout. He's pretty thick in the hips. He can run with power. I saw him in some of the running back versus linebacker drills today. And he was doing a really good job of setting up the linebacker one-on-one. And you mentioned it's a drill that's not really favorable for the linebacker because you could kind of have the whole field. But he ran an arrow route where he stuck his foot in the turf and cut it back into the middle of the field and just smoked a linebacker that was way over-aggressive on it. So good pass-catching ability there. I'm not really familiar with his pass protection, but I want to see how he holds up there on Saturday. So Corey Clement from Wisconsin, the running back, excited about him. I already talked about Danny Isadora. Don't really got to go much more into him. He's just a physical beast out there, and I think he could really help the running game for the Dolphins. But I want to see how well he moves and how well he can get out in space on linebackers at the second level to see if he can play left guard like they had him practicing at today. Other player on the line there, I guess he's more of a pass catcher, though, would be Arkansas's Jeremy Sprinkle. I saw him show some really good moves in that one-on-one drill as well. Athletically, he can get down the field as well. And I think he's a little bit better of an inline blocker, too, a little more natural at that position. Not quite as good as O.J. Howard is, but kind of that same stature where he's kind of tall and lanky and has some size and understands leverage and plays with that. So I want to see how he handles inline blocking and if he can make a couple plays up the seam in that game on Saturday. And the defensive guy that I liked, I was talking about him. I think I mentioned last episode they got beat by Forrest Lamp, and then this episode that he got beat by Isadora. He didn't get beat by Isadora. It was definitely Forrest Lamp. But he was killing people in the one-on-one pass rush drills just with the, you know, kind of getting his pad level low and then the arm over and kind of shucking him to the side. He played really well up front for Auburn this year, who had a pretty strong defense, something that they haven't had much in recent years. But I think that, and maybe you can answer this for me, Kevin, a little more, that he would be not the starter slash like kind of 80% snap type of guy that Calais Campbell might be for us, but a guy that can come in and kind of take over Earl Mitchell's role, at least early, with Jordan Phillips there and kind of rotate between those two guys because he can be pretty violent in the pass rush, and I think he can hold up a little bit in the run game, but probably more of a nickel rusher on the inside to start his career. So Montrevious Adams out of Auburn is the guy that I'm looking at for there. So those four guys are the ones I really want to pay attention to. I was really excited about Forrest Lamp, but he had that ankle injury, so he's not going to be playing in the game on Saturday or the rest of the week. So he's out.
Was the ankle injury with Lamp? I didn't realize he got hurt.
I think it was a high ankle sprain, they said, kind of funny. He was actually arguing with his agent, or per his agent said this. Maybe he's just trying to do lip service to speak well of his client. But he said that that Forrest was arguing with him about practicing and playing the rest of the week. He's like, dude, this is an all-star game. Like, I get you're trying to show off your skills so you can get more money and everything, but, you know, an ankle injury that just looms throughout the process isn't going to behoove either of us. So he sat him down. He said if it was a game week, he'd be playing, but, you know, it's not a game. It's a game, but it's not an important game. So
it's not a serious thing. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, not like a broken thing or anything like that. No Jake Butt injuries out there, so he will not be playing, but I really wanted to see him, but he's not going to be out there. So those are my four names. Kevin, you had yours. And that's pretty much it for coverage because I'm planning on getting to the rest of the Senior Bowl practices on my DVR. I tweeted at Daniel Jeremiah last night, like you keep mentioning, he's my boy. And I said, man, those Senior Bowl practice coverage on NFL Network is basically like a three-hour-long podcast with you and Mike Mayock. So keep it coming. I'm going to listen to those as much as I can and watch as much of those as I can. And just keep an eye out for guys that I like. Another guy that I mentioned earlier, I'll throw another name at you. Tre'Davious White's out there. We talked about him last episode. I think he has a lot of versatility in what he can do inside, outside, different techniques as well. So keep an eye for him. He's probably, I think he could possibly go before our pick at 22, if not soon thereafter. one of my favorite cornerbacks in the draft. I don't think the cornerback is necessarily an area of need for the Dolphins. We have more of a logjam there than anything, so probably not looking at him. But the other four guys for sure, I like big time this weekend on Saturday. So be interesting to keep an eye on them for the rest of the game, rest of the way. And Kevin, do you have any more Senior Bowl notes for us?
Not necessarily Senior Bowl, but I did get a chance to watch the East-West Shrine Game
last week. Yeah, please go into that, because I didn't get much of a chance to check that out.
Yeah. So, overall, you know, those All-Star games, it's usually kind of tough because you got a bunch of guys that don't, you know, they're not playing their normal offense, they're not playing their normal defense. You know, you have to run a 4-3, you can't blitz, anything like that. So, it was god-awful football to watch if you were just a fan of the game, because they only scored one touchdown combined, both teams. But a couple guys that really caught my eye, you know, probably the guy that they talked up the most that was there was UCLA cornerback Fabian Moreau. He made a couple nice plays in one-on-one coverage, made a really nice play as a gunner on the punt team. You know, I don't know if he got a call up to the Senior Bowl or not, but I think Daniel Jeremiah was kind of talking him up in the Shrine Game, saying that he had him with a second-round grade already. So he was impressive to me. Another couple guys that were impressive to me were, I think we mentioned him way back when we first started doing this, when we first started looking at the draft prospects, was Dietrich Wise, you know, defensive end out of Arkansas. He's kind of a bigger guy, like 6'5", around 265, 270, somewhere in there. He's kind of inconsistent, almost reminds me of Trey Flowers, who's with the Patriots right now. You know, I think Trey Flowers is a little more polished, but, you know, Dietrich Wise was one of those big guys. He can kind of convert speed to power and bull rush you. And then, you know, he kind of struggled with that. I forget the tackle he was going up against. And then out of nowhere, he just blew around the edge and got a strip sack and forced a fumble that was recovered by his team in the game. So that was pretty impressive. And then the other two guys, this guy was at the Shrine Game as well. Javancy Jones out of Jackson State. They had him playing sort of an outside linebacker spot. He was 6'1", 245, and apparently played defensive end for Jackson State. You know, he's a big guy. He's got that thick build, you know, that you would be looking for a middle linebacker or a Sam linebacker in the Dolphins scheme. I think, you know, if they got him, you know, it's probably as, you know, 6th, 7th undrafted, you know, free agent type guy, but he's got that thick build, almost looks like a middle linebacker naturally. All I had heard all week about him was that he was stiff and he was slow, but in the game, he actually made a couple nice plays when he was able to cut off the edge. And then, you know, going back to the Senior Bowl, Travis, this is one guy I was kind of curious about. Have you seen any of Derek Rivers out of Youngstown State at all?
That's a negative.
Negative? Okay. Because he was a guy, I had read about him as a D-end, was pretty productive for Youngstown State, the Penguins. Why there's a school in Ohio nicknamed the Penguins, I'm not sure of.
That's awesome.
Just another mystery of Ohio. But, you know, I saw he was at the Senior Bowl and they had him listed as an outside linebacker. So, I forgot to add him to my list, but he's another guy I'd like to kind of watch this week. But that's sort of my recap of the Shrine Game. You know, the quarterbacks were rough. I felt bad for Gunnar Kiel. You know, he's from the University of Cincinnati. He's kind of had a long, very, very strange journey. You know, at one point was committed to Notre Dame. Then he ended up at LSU, then at UC. Had one good season at UC. Played well against Ohio State. Then he's had some off-field stuff. You know, but the quarterbacks in that game were just not very good. So hopefully in the Senior Bowl, we at least get some better play there. Interested to see how Nathan Peterman out of Pitt does and Davis Webb out of Cal. So I feel like hopefully those two guys will raise the quality a little bit this weekend.
The note that I heard today was that Nathan Peterman was by far the best quarterback on the field. You mentioned that the quarterback play at the Shrine Game wasn't very good, and that kind of sucks because it really takes away a lot of what the receivers and the tight ends and the backs out of the backfield, as well as some pass protection issues there. So it kind of just ruins the entire quality of the game, like you mentioned. So I think you'll get a little bit better.
Check down after check down.
Yeah. You can't really grade that very well, so I agree with you there. One of the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl that I'm going to have to really, you know, practice my muscle memory saying is his name is Antonio Pipkin from Tiffin. Pipkin from Tiffin University. I don't even know what the heck that means.
School, all right.
Yeah, I knew you'd do that. You would know that. So just kind of trying to figure his name and alma mater out. But one of the guys that is on my list for our next segment we're going to do here in a second about guys, just kind of guys, we're just going to talk about some guys that pop out to us as maybe not the first round pick, but guys that can be taken later on in the draft, second, third, fourth, and so on in the draft. But one of the guys at the Shrine game, I watched the first possession, and he had a catch in the first possession down to the one, I think it was a fourth and something that he caught a pass and got a first down from Washington State, Gabe Marks. And he kind of has that that Doug Baldwin about him where there's not going to kill you with size, not going to kill you with speed, but he's in the right spot. He catches everything. Really savvy route runner, can set up the defender. And he was awesome at Washington State. All-time Pac-12 receptions and yards leader in the history of the conference. So big-time production there in the air raid offense. So excited to see him play, or I guess go through the whole process and see where he winds up. I think that when the Dolphins go out to their 2x2 splits in the 4-wide formations, which they never really did last year very much, used a lot more tight ends, but I think that was more of a indictment on the fact that Leonte Carew and Jakeem Grant just couldn't get themselves ready to play on game day. I think Adam Gase will mix in a lot more formations this next year, and if they decide they're not happy with either of those guys, they could look at this receiver class maybe late in the draft or undrafted. And I think Gabe Marks fits that mold very well. So would love to see the Coup go down to Miami and possibly make the team in August. So that's my first name on that list, Kevin, with guys I'm looking for later in the draft. I'm going to talk to you about one guy, or two guys here, I should say, that fit your alley. You can kind of give me some notes on them. Two defensive ends that really, I noticed them more when we were doing when I was compiling my list for our alternating mock draft we did last episode, just because of how deep the defensive end position is. I mean, we talked about Carl Lawson and Charles Harris and Miles Garrett and, you know, Derek Barnett and all the guys that are ahead of them on the draft board. But here's a guy that you mentioned back couple months ago when we were doing our draft prospects on the game episodes of Finalysis podcast, Tack McKinley from UCLA, man, he got buried down that list quite a bit. And I was thinking, if that is how it goes and you know, people want to kind of space the defensive ends out because of how deep the position is, you might be able to grab that guy at pick 54. And the other guy that I like on probably the right defensive end would take over for Andre Branch is Florida State's DeMarcus Walker, who is just a stout physical beast that can really set the edge and kind of play strong for you on the outside and play the run on his way to the pass. So DeMarcus Walker and Tack McKinley, two guys I am looking at possibly at 54. Do you think that's a possibility?
I think Tack McKinley, maybe. I read he's got a torn labrum, you know, shoulder injury.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I myself have been through that injury and have had that surgery. It's not fun. So it'll be interesting to see how much that affects him. He's, from what I've seen, he's kind of a raw guy, but he's extremely athletic. I think just, you know, if it's related to the Dolphins specifically, I think it depends on where you use him. Just from what I've seen from him, I think he could play defensive end in a 4-3, or he could be a stand-up, you know, 3-4 outside linebacker. For Miami's needs, I just don't know. He kind of falls in that gray area, you know. Kind of for me with Ryan Anderson, they're both pretty good players. I really like Ryan Anderson. I just don't know, you know, if he's got those traits and those characteristics they want in a D end, and you know, he might not have that type of athleticism and ability to go in coverage. You know, I'm talking about Tack McKinley now. I don't know if he would have that athleticism to go into coverage or how much experience he's got from that. I didn't see him do it a whole lot at UCLA. DeMarcus Walker, I think, is a stud, and you know, the most recent game I watched of his was when they played Michigan in the Orange Bowl, and they used him in the interior quite a bit in that game, and he was just causing havoc. Like, Florida State had so many tackles for zero or loss of yardage against Michigan, especially against the run. Very productive player. I think he had 12, 14 sacks somewhere around there for the Seminoles this year. Not hugely tall, but he's got big, long arms. I think he'd be a great fit. He might be one of those guys where Miami might have to manipulate their draft board a little bit.
Yeah.
Or manipulate their draft picks, you know, much like we did last year when they traded up for Xavien Howard. He might be a guy that sneaks out of the first round, maybe, but I don't know if he will drop all the way to 54. You might have to, you know, jump up to 34 or 44, somewhere around there to get him. But I really like DeMarcus Walker. And I actually, I've been making up this draft board. I emailed it to you. I'm a football nerd. I've got, I think I'm up to 140 names now. And I actually have DeMarcus Walker as a first round grade for me. So I really like him.
That's what I wanted to hear from you. I watched him in that Michigan Orange Bowl, and he was really good in that game too. So fun player to watch. I'm glad to hear that. It's kind of fun when they, you know, you get to that second round, teams can kind of reorganize and re-strategize their board. And I think that that's something they'd have to look at too, because let's say you go out and you get Jared Davis from Florida, or Gerard, whatever we're going to call him so far. If you get that linebacker in the first round, you know, you sign some free agents on the defensive line. And then you still have a hole there at the defensive end position. You say, hey, if DeMarcus Walker's there and it costs us an additional third or something like that, let's go up and get him and get two starters right away on this defense. So I'd love to see that. Kevin, I've got 4 more names I want to talk about. I've got about guys later in the draft. We've got about 10 minutes or here, so before I want to wrap this up. But let's get some names off your list if you don't have some.
Yeah, so I think if Miami ends up going linebacker in the first round, which just based on what's out there in free agency in the draft, I kind of feel like that's probably what they might end up doing. If they have to go with a defensive end that kind of slips down there to round two, one of the guys I really like is Jordan Willis out of Kansas State. You know, he's a really good player. I like him. And then Anthony Walker out of Northwestern, if they end up going with a linebacker in the second round, he and Hassan Reddick, both guys I mentioned in our draft prospect segments, would be guys I would like. But couple names on offense I'm actually pretty interested to see. Jalen Robinette, the receiver from Air Force, he was at the Shrine game, and like I said before, the quarterback play there was so bad, he really didn't get a chance to do a whole lot. But he had tremendous numbers this year for Air Force. So I'm interested to see, you know, how he does in the game and how he tests out. I'll give you a kind of an obscure name, a guard. I don't know if he's at the Senior Bowl or not, but Jessamine Dunker out of Tennessee State.
That's a phenomenal name.
I've read a lot of good things about him. And then one last name I was going to kind of give. I know Miami actually met with him at the Senior Bowl. I believe it's Jordan Herdman, a linebacker out of Simon Fraser from up in Canada. That's a guy I kind of want to watch as well. He might be there, you know, late in the draft. Along with Tyus Bowser, who's a favorite of mine.
That Canada to Miami pipeline has been a pretty good one for us in the past, so I'm with you on that. Yeah. Hopefully that Deion Lacey kid can make some stuff happen for us next year as well. Yeah. A couple more names I like, too. I think he's probably second-round area, too. I have Forrest Lamp written down, but I've talked enough about him, so I'll go ahead and get rid of him for this segment. If we're going to go in that same line of thinking, offensive guard, Pat Elflein from Ohio State. I'm sure you're very familiar with him. Am I saying that name right? Mm-hmm.
Elflein.
Okay, I had the letters mixed up. I'm a little bit dyslexic too, so forgive me for that. But I know Chris Kaufman on the Fins mentioned him quite a bit as a plug and play type of guy. So if you can find him in the second round, he can kind of really hold down that guard position for you. And I think there's a lot of good options for guard here in this draft, which is kind of funny how poor this draft is in a lot of areas on offense, but on the interior offensive line, you got Forrest Lamp, Pat Elflein, and then my guy Danny Isidore, really good options there at the guard position to look forward to in the middle of the draft as well. So another second round guy that I like at corner, and I keep bringing these cornerbacks up because I feel like it's a very deep position this year, but maybe even the third round with how deep the position is. Cordrea Tankersley from Clemson plays a really physical brand of football too. I think he'd fit in well with this scheme and this style of defense they play in Miami. And then my last name on my list, Kevin, I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for this, a guy that character might be brought into concern a little bit. He was 18 years old when he had a video release of him knocking a female out. Don't condone that in any way, but Joe Mixon is a first round talent that's going to fall because he's an idiot, or at least he was 3 years ago. And I think that if you can find a way to get him in the middle of the draft and add him to this talented backfield, you're just making your team even better. And I'm kind of, I've been talking to you about this a lot lately and building the strengths of your team and just continuing to reload the strength positions that you have. So, you know, if this offense is destined to be, you know, verge top 10, and you can go out and you can fill a right guard starter and you can find another running back and you can supplement the tight end position and you can become a top 5 offense. I mean, look what that did for Atlanta this year with Alex Mack joining that team and Mohamed Sanu and Taylor Gabriel and Tevin Coleman being in a second year. So a lot of those guys that really were added to an area of strength for the Falcons are making big dividends for them now, and now they're playing in the Super Bowl. So I don't really care too much about positional needs. I do agree that DN, linebacker, tight end, offensive guard is probably where we have to go, and you're going to have to fill those needs at some point. But, I mean, like Mike Tannenbaum said, if you can sign some guys in free agency and free yourself up, just start taking the best players, and you're going to be a good football team eventually.
Yeah, yeah. You know, hopefully Miami's able to do some nice work in free agency, and hopefully the draft will be, you know, pleasantly surprising. I think for me, you know, in the past, I've always kind of focused on one or two guys, and I always felt kind of bummed out that we didn't take them. You know, last year I was dead set on Miles Jack once all those corners started to fly off, and we ended up with Laremy Tunsil, and I kind of sat there for 2 or 3 minutes just like dumbfounded, and then I was just like, holy shit, we just got the best player in the entire draft. Like, you know, that doesn't happen to the Dolphins, you know. Usually I don't like their pick, and, you know, this year I'm trying to go into it with more of an open mind, and I think as long as they get help defensively and kind of balance out what the offense has the potential to do, I think this could be a dangerous team moving forward. So I'm not going to try and focus on a particular player or want a guy or be disappointed if they don't take Jared Davis or my boy Taco Charlton. You know, I hope they get a lot of good players through this draft, and it would be, you know, really 3 years in a row with it. And then, you know, my last bit tonight, you talked about it. There's some odd names in this draft. You know, you talked about Tre'Davious White, Montrevious Adams, Tano Kapasanon. But is there a better name in this entire draft class than Air Force safety Weston Steelhammer?
Weston Steelhammer.
That's just a badass name, isn't it?
He could either be a star safety or a porn star. I haven't decided which one yet. That's an odd Steelhammer. What a great name that is. Weston Steelhammer.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's fun to watch every year these names that come out and you try to figure them out, and the all-star type of names, Hall of Fame names, I think they call them. So there's definitely a few of those. You mentioned one earlier. I think it was a guard that had a pretty good name too. I forget who it was, but
Jessamyn Dunker.
Jessamyn Dunker, what a name! That's amazing. Yeah. So yeah, that's all I got for tonight too, man. Kevin and I are planning on doing a lot more stuff like this. I mean, if you're into the draft, you're gonna like this podcast. So check back with us. We're gonna try to do an episode per week still. This will be the second one out this week. So. A little bit of double coverage there for you guys, but check back on weeks like, you know, the Combine. I'll probably have a couple episodes out for you guys. Leading up to draft week will be all over the place, or all in your face, I should say, with the episodes coming out fast and furious for you there.
We'll probably have one recapping like the first couple of days of free agency, don't you think?
100% we will. This is the time of year where Kevin and I really kind of ratchet up the analysis. I mean, I know our film work was pretty well received during the season, but yeah, we're going to be kind of changing that format around a little bit when the season starts, but that's for another episode for another day. But this is where Kevin and I really like to do our work and kind of dig our heels in and look at some of these guys on tape and learn about these college players. So a lot of good things to come from the Finalysis podcast, a lot of good things to come from the Welcome to Perfectville podcast. I know they're planning on doing an episode a week for now, at least. The Right Travis Wright tab over at welcometoperfectville.com, our entire catalog there, as well as Ronan's Ramblings. You can find Kevin's writings there. So Kevin, that's going to do it for me, man. You got anything else you want to add tonight?
Nah, I just want to watch more film on Weston Steelhammer.
Well, hey, you can watch him on Jalen Robinette at the same time, so there you go. All right, so that's going to do it for us tonight, guys. Have a good rest of your night, and thanks for listening to the Finalysis podcast. We will catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the Finalysis with Travis Wingfield and Kevin Dern. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, and go to welcometoperfectville.com for the very best coverage of your Miami Dolphins. Fins up.